around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, October the 10th, 2022. We welcome you today, wherever that you are. And as always, we pray that God's grace and the Holy Spirit of God will touch your heart and touch your life in a very special and personal way. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. The coming days are going to demand the presence of God in your life. God was going to send Moses in Exodus chapter 33 into the promised land and going to send an angel with him because of the rebellion and the sins of the Israelites. Moses, having had such communion, such fellowship with God, he said, "Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going." Then we read that renowned passage in Exodus 33:14, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Now let me say something here. When the communion and the fellowship and the presence of God goes with you, without a doubt, you're going to have rest in your body, soul, and spirit. Remember the great invitation, Matthew 11:28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Solomon said, "The way of a transgressor is hard. The way of the Lord may have trial and temptation in it, but it's also less arduous, laborious, and difficult." Communion. When Paul closes out his letter to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, he said these words, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Paul wants to witness the grace of God magnified in their lives. Now you may ask the question, how can God's grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how can that grace be magnified in our individual lives? By the communion of the Holy Ghost. Christ is the benefactor. We are the beneficiaries. He's the benefactor. We're the beneficiaries. We receive from Christ. And having that communion, and that word communion there simply means fellowship. 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." I want to elaborate on that word fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. We have communion, meaning the presence of God is all around us, about us, and also in us. The presence of God is to be inside your clay jar, your earthen vessel. The prayer that Christ prayed, or that he prophesied, and John chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. He dwelleth. He has communion with you. That's powerful. That is so dynamic. That is so powerful that God, through the Holy Ghost, will have fellowship and communion with us. Who are we that God would fellowship with us? And again, we're the beneficiaries. He's the benefactor. He's the one that bestows upon us exceedingly. Again, John 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. What Christ was to his disciples when he was on the earth, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is now to us. Because the Holy Spirit of God is omnipresent. He's going to give us another comforter that he may abide with us. How long? Forever. Think of this now. Everyone listening to me that's been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, from the moment Christ took up residence in your heart, in your life, from that point onward, if you abide in Christ, and Christ continues to abide in you, you will, from the time of your new birth, you will go into eternity, and the Spirit of God will abide with you forever. If I walk the walk and I don't backslide and I don't drift away from God, I will never, since June the 6th, 1978, I have never been without the Holy Spirit of God. I've never been without the presence of God in my life. And so it is with you. And this is why the communion part is so significant. And Jesus makes it clear in verse 17, John 14, 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. The only way to have communion with God is to be in the right relationship with him. I'm trying to help you today. Paul, as he's closing out 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The communion. God allows you to partake of him. Remember John 6:35. I'm the bread of life. He that believeth on me shall never hunger, and he that cometh to me shall never thirst. Jesus is the one who satisfies the hunger, the spiritual hunger in men's lives. Now, men try to fill that hunger, that thirst, with the things of the world. And then when they get done with the liquor, they get done with the dope, they get done with the pornography, they get done with the fornication, they are still empty. Why? Because they're not having fellowship through the Holy Spirit with God. Again, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So there is a hunger and a thirst. It is innate. It is within you. And you, through your humanity, your flesh, you seek to satisfy that spiritual hunger and thirst, and you try to do that through the flesh. You try to satisfy the spiritual man through the works and the deeds of the flesh. And that's why you leave empty. That's why you leave unsatisfied. That's why you leave and you're not edified in your body. When I get down to pray and I get up from my knees, I have been edified through the communion and the fellowship, because I'm able to partake of Christ through the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I know you may be not very familiar with the terms of which I'm speaking. But he told Moses, he said, my presence shall go with thee. There's something about the awesomeness of God's presence, brooding, abiding, abiding within us. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That word moved in the Hebrew means the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the waters like a hen broods over her chicks. They get under her wings. The wings of God brooded over the waters. God began to move. God wants you to have fellowship with him. God wants you to have communion with him. The coming days are going to demand a more greater and intimate walk in Christ. And I can't get away from that phrase, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with ye all, you all. Three things, grace, love, and communion. And how do we receive it? Through the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost. Anybody, any church that does not allow the Holy Ghost to have preeminence is a dead, lifeless, listless, bland church. There is nothing there. If ever before, the Word of God makes it absolutely clear, synchronous, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. This is only possible through the Spirit of God. And any church, any Christian, professing Christian, let me say it that way, any professing Christian that does not allow the preeminence of the Holy Ghost in their lives, you are a lifeless Christian. When God left Samson, he was a godless man. Let me say that again. When the presence of God left Samson, he wist not that the Lord had left him. He was suddenly a godless man. He was out of fellowship. He was out of grace. He was out of love. He was out of the communion of God through the Holy Spirit. Now, I know technically the Holy Ghost was not yet given, but the Spirit of God was still with men. They just were not baptized in the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit and the presence of God was on their lives. Remember, my presence shall go with thee. God's presence is manifest through the Holy Spirit. Many of you listening don't realize the importance and the significance. We had this has been some years ago, a dear friend of mine and his wife came to the storefront church when I was starting over back in 2001, or actually 2002. I'll get it right. Yeah, 2002. Winter of 2002. And when this couple came to the church, the storefront building, she told my wife, just told her this the other day, a couple weeks ago. She said, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. She said, this place is different. All she done was walked into the little storefront church. That's all she did. Just walked in there. Now, that was a music store before it became a church. They sold speakers and amps and guitars and drums and things like that. We turned it into a sanctuary. And she said, when I walked in there, the hair stood on the back of my neck. Now, let me tell you something. That's the presence of the Lord. God's presence arrests us. God's presence touches us. God's presence ministers to us. I just can't get away from that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The love, the grace, all of this happens through communion. Again, Christ is the benefactor. We're the beneficiaries of his blessing upon our lives. And I want you to believe me, the more time you spend in communion with God, that means when you're in communion with God, he's the benefactor. He's bestowing upon you. You're the recipient, the beneficiary. You're the one that's being blessed. The more time you spend in the presence of God, the greater the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. That hunger, that thirst drives you, allows you to be desirous for communion. Sometimes I get down to pray and it's dry. Man, it's dry. Then other times, as soon as I bend my knees, tears begin to flow. Why? I sense that presence. But that presence is there. Sometimes I don't sense it. Maybe sometimes I'm too much in the flesh when I go to pray. But I promise you, if you'll be diligent and you'll be prayerful and you'll be consistent, that communion allows you to partake of Christ. He quenches the hunger. He quenches the thirst. He provides something supernatural for you, which is his presence. And God is going to help those who run to him and dwell in the secret place of the Most High. God is our refuge. Psalms 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in the time of trouble. We need the presence of God. And the coming days are going to demand intimacy with Christ so that when things become more skewed, more frayed, more chaotic, you have absolute peace in your heart. We need to understand that God is sovereign. God is in control of absolutely everything. I know sometimes I lack trust. Sometimes I grapple. Sometimes I struggle. But we are approaching a threshold. We're getting into a state and place. We need God as never before. You need that communion. You need that fellowship. You need that grace. You need that love. And you need the communion of the Holy Ghost. God gives us the grace. God gives us the love. And it is manifest through the communion of the Holy Ghost. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commended. He sent that love. How did he send it? Through the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I know people brag about what they've done to help save themselves. Your bragging is in vain. Your works are in vain. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. You need to grasp that. It is the love of God. It is the grace of God that saves you. And then we are able to come into communion with God through the Holy Ghost. He is the avenue. He is the conduit. He's the one that gets us. This is all spiritual now. Some of you are getting this. Sadly, some of you, it's a little bit over your head. I don't say that to be pompous or proud. Forgive me if I seem to sound that way, but this is a spiritual application. That's why he's the benefactor. He's the one that bestows this upon us. He's the one that grants us this. All I can do is preach the word. All I can do is when you come to hear, to listen, to watch, all I can do is bring you a pure, unadulterated message. But all the results, all the communion, all the fellowship is based upon you and God. As the old boy said, I can bring the horse to the water trough, but I can't make him drink. I can present Christ to you, but I cannot make you drink. You have to be willing to drink of the fountain. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall you draw waters from the wells of salvation. You can draw if you so choose. If you so drop your bucket, drop your cup. David said, my cup runneth over. I want my cup full. Some are satisfied with a saucer blessing. When I was a little boy and they would kind of decorate the table, my grandma would put out a saucer cup and a saucer and a cup, I should say. And I've watched people purposefully spill a little coffee into the saucer and then pick it up and sip from the saucer. Now, why did they do that? Because it cooled the coffee. And the time came when they no longer sipped from the saucer. They drank from the cup because it had done cool down enough where they could drink it. Some people are satisfied with a saucer blessing. No, I want the cup. David said, my cup runneth over. Some of you that are my age and older, you understand what I'm talking about, the saucer and the cup. You understand that because you have witnessed that personally. I want to take a moment, and I want to pray for everyone before we continue on today, because the coming days are going to demand a more intimate communion and fellowship with God. Father, we come today in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus, the Lord Christ. Lord, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl that is listening to the program, whether video or audio. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will constrain them, create a hunger and a thirst in them for communion and fellowship through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the hunger and thirst you've put in my heart for your word and for your presence, that insatiable hunger and thirst. I ask, Lord God, that hunger and that thirst would pervade and permeate every ear, every one who's listening, the hearing of every individual. I pray right now, Lord God, something supernatural will happen to them, that they will hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that we can have communion. I thank you, Lord, that we can have fellowship. I thank you that we are the beneficiary of your love and of your great grace. And it is happening through the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. God, I just pray today you would supernaturally touch the hearts and lives of people all over the world. Lord, I pray for the backslidden church to turn and seek your face, that they might have communion with you, that they might become intimate with you, that they might desire to be closer to you, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for every blessing. I thank you for every blessing, not only in my life, but in the lives of those who are listening. I thank you for sustaining the voice of evangelism. I thank you for touching men and women and their hearts who get a witness of the character, the integrity of this ministry, that they want to help us bring the message to people all over the world. I thank you for that. I thank you for allowing us to have communion with you. You're such a holy, holy, holy God. Yet you suffer, you tolerate wretched men to come into your presence that they might be edified and strengthened. Paul the apostle said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He acknowledged the wretchedness of his humanity. Though he was washed in the blood, cleansed by thy word, and sealed by thy Holy Spirit, he still understood his humanity, his wretchedness, and his fragility. Lord, I pray for every ear to hear the word of the Lord. Lord, don't ever let your word that I proclaim fall to the ground. I pray that it will find a lodging place, a place of residence in everyone. And Lord, those who don't care to hear it and receive it, send that measure to another person that they might get a double portion of thy word and of thy communion. Father, I pray for America. I pray for this nation. Oh God, how vile and how wicked we are becoming in these days. The perversity, the unmitigated filth and degradation that is being exalted in the land. God, I rebuke that iniquitous act and deeds of the people, and I plead the blood of the Lamb, your Son's blood, upon America even now. God, do what only you can do. God, reveal the charlatans. Lord, expose the wicked. Expose those who claim to be of the righteousness of God, but they are not. They are charlatans. They are pretenders. They are hypocrites. God, manifest who they are that the people might know and not become deceived. You said in Matthew 24:5, and many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Oh God, don't let me ever come to a state and a place in my life where I would ever think or consider being dishonest or untruthful or skewed in some capacity. I pray that my hands will always remain clean and my heart to forever be pure, and all that I seek to do in the coming days, Lord, I want to be of the righteousness of God, not of mankind. Now, God, touch every home and every family. Touch every businessman, whether they are a small business or a vast, large business. God, touch everyone that's a business person that tithes and gives and honors you with their substance, Lord. Bring a supernatural blessing upon those who acknowledge you through their substance because they know you are the ones that gave it to them. You are the one that blessed them with it, not their own hands, but it was the blessing of the Lord. God, I just ask you now to move in the coming days. Father, I'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, which in the beloved name of your Son, Jesus, I humbly pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Take this verse and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Take this verse. Be analytical. Dissect it. And embrace it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. God's presence can be with us, just as he told Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the comforter, the one who gives help, the parakletos, the one that gives aid and comfort, that we might live lives that are victorious here in the time of the end. I pray this little moment of edification has touched your life and strengthened you today and lifted you up into the courts of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to play a song by the Tribute Quartet entitled I Call It Home. I pray it'll bless you and edify you today.
Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place, and in a few more days well it will be mine. Some call it heaven, I call it me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, I just call it home. Someone said you can't go, come back home again, and things will never, never be as good as they've been. But I have good news for you. Oh, when heaven comes into view, one glimpse and you'll know the best is yet to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming. Well, just go ahead and let me keep dreaming on and on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it, call it home. Some call it paradise.
when life is over and life is finished, will you be able to call heaven home? Will you have run the race and finished the course and continued in communion and fellowship with God? I'm telling you, the coming days are going to be days of the supernatural. There will be supernatural acts of evil, and there will be supernatural acts of righteousness. You say evil? Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Why will God send the delusion? They did not have a love, a desire of the truth, or better yet, they didn't care about having communion and fellowship with the presence of God Almighty. Psalms 103, verses 4, 5 says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. The Bible tells us that Elohim and Moses spoke face to face. And when Moses came down off of the mountain, the countenance of the man of God was so radiant, it had changed so dynamically, they had to put a veil over the face of the man of God. They could not even bear to stand to look at Moses. Not because he was ugly or heinous. The glory of God had changed his countenance. You can live. I can live in such a way. Our countenances are changed by the very essence and presence of God. But you have to walk with God. You have to fellowship with God. Are you buying what I'm selling today? Are you canning what I'm giving you today? Are you putting up the treasure of the Word of God in your heart today? Don't let the Word of God fall by the wayside. Don't let the Word of God be insignificant to you. Don't let his word leak out of your heart. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or we should let the word of God leak out of us. Leak out of us. Don't let the word of God leak out of you. Don't do it. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in us. Let Christ be made manifest in you, amen. Let there always be a manifestation of the power, the presence, the Spirit of God in your life. Don't ever be without a time when that Jesus is not manifest in your body. God changes people, folks. Jesus changes people, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Manifest, illuminated, evidence. The manifestation is the evidence of the communion and fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I didn't know I would be going this way today. That's why I come in here to the studio. And of course, I pray, ask God to order my steps. God, touch me that the people can receive. The people need to receive. The people need to partake of the communion and the fellowship and the grace and the love. God edifies us. That's why the Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When the Holy Ghost comes, he edifies, he uplifts, he strengthens, he encourages. Just like he told Joshua, be of good courage. You're going to need courage, Joshua. Every one of us are going to need courage in the coming days. How do we get that courage? Through the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Remember after Ziklag was burned to the ground? And even the Israelites turned against King David and they wanted to stone the man of God when he suffered the same consequences. They had captured his wives. What does the Bible say David did? He encouraged himself in the Lord and he got courage. Actually, in the Hebrew there, when he says he encouraged himself in the Lord, the word encouraged there in the Hebrew means he literally attached himself to God. He was so attached, he became a beneficiary from the benefactor and the presence of God. The Hebrew says he attached himself to the Lord. It's like a electrical wire. Grab it, and the current will flow through your body. Too much of it, it'll kill you. I experienced that. When the Holy Ghost came on me on the 35th day of that fast, I said, God, if you don't stop, you're going to kill me. Now, he knew he wasn't going to kill me, but I didn't know that. But I felt life being sucked out of this human body. You cannot ever understand that unless you experience it. I can try my best to tell you about spiritual experiences, but they are too far-reaching. They are overwhelming for humanity. Just like when God appeared to Saul. The light was so bright, it blinded him, and he was physically blind. God has a way of getting our attention, dealing with us. You know, I want to say this, and I hope it doesn't sound arrogant, and forgive me if it does. God knew how to touch me in a way that would change me, and I would not be cowardice to say the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine is a fallacy. Now, that's, you know, 99% of the people believe in that. But God touched my heart in such a way, I was willing to risk everything. And, you know, looking back, I didn't risk nothing. I didn't risk anything. I just obeyed God. You see, when you're with God and God's with you, it's not a chance. It's not a risk. It's none of those things. Hallelujah. God already knows the outcome because he's God. He's in control of everything. And when he says do this or do that, you obey God. You may suffer for obedience from the world and from your peers and from your family. You may suffer because you've been obedient. Joseph suffered because of obedience. But he said to his brothers, God sent me before you to save lives. God gave me a revelation to warn people and tell people, get on the right track. What you're believing is not true. Oh, now you're comparing yourself to Joseph. No, I'm not. I just know that God has a way of warning people. And as I said, I think it was last week, he takes foolish things to confound the wise. Well, surely God could not use him or her to give them a revelation. Remember, God chooses foolish things. God chooses weak things. But it's not the man, it's not the woman that God might be using. It's the Holy Ghost that they allow to flow through them. It is that communion with God that comes through them and affects people's lives. I tell people all the time, it's never me. It's never David Lankford. Anybody that would think that is a carnal Christian. It is God. It is his word. I just preach, thus saith the Lord. It is his Holy Ghost. I just simply try to yield to the Holy Spirit of God for whatever he wills, whatever he wants. I'm not the man. He is the man. I know that's a poor choice of words. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? He's not a man. He's God. Yes, he came in the form of a man. But you must always remember, though he was a man in the natural, he was still God in the Holy Ghost. That's why the Spirit, John 3:34, the Spirit was given to Christ without measure. It was immeasurable. You couldn't measure the enormity. And I think about it so many times. Can you imagine walking into a room or a crowd, 5, 10, 15, 20,000 people, and you could read everybody's mind if you wanted to? You see, that would blow our human minds. We couldn't handle it. You're really thinking that? You're really pondering that right now? He knew their hearts. Jesus didn't need any man to tell him anything because he was always consistently listening to the voice of the Father, the voice of God. Psalms 29:4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. He could hear that majestic voice. Do you hear it? Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do you hear the voice of the Lord? How do I hear the voice of the Lord? You have communion with him. You fellowship with him. You take the time to be intimate in the Holy Spirit of God. You yield yourself to him. And if you yield yourself to him, you may all of a sudden begin to weep profusely. You may just begin to cry like a 2-year-old child with tears streaming down your face. You may become so contrite, so humble, so meek, so lowly. That's the presence of the Lord. The love, the grace, and the communion. That is so needful today. The correct order is grace, love, and communion and the Holy Ghost. But that word communion, that word communion is so dynamic, so powerful, that you and I can commune and fellowship with God. That is a powerful word for diplomacy. Those of you who have a strong, exhaustive concordance, it's number 2842 or 2844, the word communion there. If you will go back and look that up in the Strong Exhaustive Concordance, it has a very, very, and I mean very intimate definition that I will not use on the air. But it is so powerful, it begs description. In your Strong Exhaustive, it's 2842. The number's 2842. Go read that, and you will see how intimate it means to have communion with God. I want to get closer to God. I said, I want to get closer to God. I pray you too want to get closer to God. Because with the grave uncertainty that's coming to America, that communion is going to sustain you and going to keep you in the coming days. Before I leave today, I want to share the book again. Leonard Ravenhill, America is Too Young to Die, A Call to Revival. America is Too Young to Die. Everyone that's gotten this book and read it has only written back to me, emailed me, and said, one lady said, I've already read it three times. It is a book that challenges your walk with God. And the cost is $25. That's the postage paid included. We're not making any money. I'm just trying to put a powerfully anointed book in your library that you can go back and pick up, because we need a revival in America. You can go to our website and order it, or you can write us at Post Office Box 502, Caesar, C-A-S-A-R, North Carolina, 28020. 28020. God will challenge you. God will challenge you in the coming days. Don't be afraid to read your Bible and pray. And if the Holy Spirit leads you to fast 2 or 3 days. If you fast 2 or 3 days, try to fast on nothing but water. I'm telling you, there's something that God wants to do in every one of our lives and changing us into His image and into His likeness. God is not trying to make you a better Methodist or a better Presbyterian or a better Baptist or a Church of God or Assembly of God or Pentecostal Holiness or UPC, United Pentecostal Church. He's not trying to make you a better one of those. No, no. He's trying to make you in the image and likeness of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. You could become the best Church of God member the Church of God has ever had. And that will not please God, because He wants you to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, you then become a blessing to those around you because you're more like Christ. You are more like Christ. And therefore, because you are more like Christ, you can be a true blessing to those around you. We've lost the desire in the church world to be a blessing. Oh, we want recognition. We want notoriety. We want superiority. We want identity. We want this. We want that. No, just be like Jesus and give all the glory to the Lord, all of the glory. Give it all to Him. Let Him be the one to be lifted up in our midst. Amen. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto me. I will draw all men unto me. I'll pick back up tomorrow in Hebrews 11, verse 37. We'll probably finish up tomorrow. Not exactly sure where we'll be next week. I'm just asking God to order my steps. I'm asking God to make the path plain. I'm asking God to show me what He wants, what He wills. His will is already executed in the heavenlies. It's our job to pray that it be wrought here in the earth. Pray for America. Pray for the midterms. As I said, these people are so evil. I believe this. Without divine intervention, they'll steal this upcoming election, because there's too many things being already said. predetermined statements to mentally prepare you for the Democrats to stay in charge. They don't want to lose another election, folks. Pray for your nation. Remember what Jesus said. If a kingdom be divided against itself, what was the rest of the statement? It shall not stand. It shall not stand if it be divided. Now, the destruction, the literal, physical, economical fall will be devastating. Isn't it a disgrace that the Pentagon tells the military the soldiers are suffering, they can't afford food to apply for food stamps, yet you send scores and scores of billions of dollars in armament to Ukraine, left nearly $90 billion in Afghanistan, and you tell your soldiers to apply for food stamps? What a wicked, wicked, wicked people we are. That shows you they don't even have 1 ounce of integrity. Not 1 ounce of integrity. That's like telling my kids when they're 6 years old, go down there to the welfare department, see if they'll give you something. My God, how pathetic, how criminal, how dishonest are we becoming? God is not going to keep enduring this. I was reading Jeremiah 16 the other day. Stirred my heart. He said, Israel, you are so evil, you are so vile. And he said to the children, you're worse than your fathers. You're worse than your fathers. I can concur right now. This generation is worse than their fathers. The killing, the murdering, the drugs, the alcohol, the promiscuity, the perversity and sex. It's crazy. Pray. Seek to have fellowship and communion with Jesus the Lord Christ. And he will edify you, he will strengthen you, he will encourage you, he will embolden you, he will empower you to live a life of victory. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great evening.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.